All right, open your Bibles tonight, please, to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, please. If you go to Proverbs and then go to the next book, you'll find Ecclesiastes. And I want to read the first four verses of the 11th chapter, and then verse 4 will be my text verse tonight. And back when, a couple of weeks ago, when we were doing Ecclesiastes on Wednesday night, as I was reading the book, I had a seed thought for this message. And then prepared, worked on it, and thus the message tonight. But interesting verse, and I want to share some thoughts with you from it tonight. Let's begin in verse 1. Everybody got it?
Yeah.
All right, and we'll wait till you got it, till you have it. So. All right, everybody's got it? Okay, good. All right, verse 1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it, after many days. Now, I preached on that verse about a year and a half, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, sometime in the past. And we talked about how Solomon had seen probably the Nile River flood. And he saw the folks waiting until the water was just about completely receded, and then they went out and cast their seed upon the flooded ground, and of course that was rich, nutrient-filled soil that came from the floodplain. And then after a few days, their crops were there. All right, verse 2, give a portion to 7 and also to 8. For thou knowest not what evil shall befall the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Now, in this little mix of just common sense things, he says in verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Now, that's a strange little verse, isn't it? It's strange little advice from the wisest man who ever lived outside of our Savior. And he says, let's read it one more time, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. I want to speak to you tonight, and this is more just, I want to talk to you tonight, rather than I want to preach a message tonight. I'd like to just talk with you tonight, and I'm going to use this fourth verse and entitle my message tonight, Overthinking It. Overthinking it. Now, if you look at it, he said, he that observeth the wind shall not sow. We can come up with a lot of excuses for about anything we want, can't we? Overthinking it. And he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Here's a guy that says, I know I ought to go out there and cut my the wheat out of my fields, but you know it might rain, and so he doesn't do it. He's overthinking it, and I want to just talk to you for a little while tonight. So I want you to listen carefully. I'm not going to do a whole lot to help you pay attention, so you're going to have to do it on your own. But I just want to talk with you. And hopefully give you a little practical advice on a few issues. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you so much for the Bible. And Lord, as we look at this verse tonight, I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to see the importance of just doing what we're supposed to do. Don't overthink things. Just do what we're supposed to do. And Lord, it's so easy to sit and analyze and to sit and try to find ways to skirt things and find ways to cut corners. But Father, help us just to do what we're supposed to do. And as we heard a moment ago in the testimony, you just are looking for some faithful servants. So Lord, help us tonight to see that point. And I pray that the Spirit of God will guide and direct and just help us to see the truth of thy word. So be with us now, and we'll give you praise and glory for what's accomplished. In Jesus' name, amen. I had a professor in college who was one of my favorites. He was a Bible teacher. I had him for every class that I could work into my schedule to take under his tutelage. And he was one of my favorite teachers. And he would always say, he said it all the time, and he was my faculty advisor. So whenever I had a question about the Bible or about pastoring or whatever the case may be, I would go and ask him and sit down with him, and he would help me, and he helped me many, many times to deal with things. One of the things that he used to say all the time was this. He would say, "Don't overthink it. It's not that difficult. Don't overthink it. It's not that difficult." He would be teaching the Bible, and right in the middle of some deep doctrinal matter, he would be teaching what the course prescribed and what he had prepared and what we had studied for, and then he would stop and he would get practical and look you right square in the eye and point his finger and say, "Now look, don't overthink this. This is not that complicated. Just believe what God says. Just believe what God says." And he used to say that all the time. Now, we have all met folks who were good people, but they were difficult to be around because they were overzealous about some matter, some issue that was their little issue, and they would just wear you out in no time over this little issue that had consumed their lives. But then there are probably even more people in this world who overthink everything. They just overthink everything, and they can also weigh on others and on themselves, and there are probably more of them than there are people who are overzealous about things in life. Now, in all probability, this statement in verse 4, and I can't say this without reservation, but as I read the book, I realized that Solomon was an observant individual. It's obvious that Solomon paid attention to life going on around him. Many of the things that he says in the book of Proverbs and in the book of Ecclesiastes are simply things that he observed happening with his own eyes. And when he observed these things, he wrote them down. So he was watching the world around him. He watched people. He watched how they behaved themselves. He watched how they responded to him and to others. And and I can't say this without reservation, but my guess is that one day he spoke to a farmer. Maybe that farmer was employed by him to provide food for the palace. Now, you remember when we studied the life of Solomon, we found out that he was muchly married. Remember that? He had a house full. Let's just put it that way. He had a lot of mouths he had to feed. And we read about how vast his government was, how big his government was, and what was needed every day for Solomon to take care of just those people that were in his household. Now, I don't know, but I can imagine that Solomon was maybe talking to one of the farmers that he employed who provided food for the palace. And in conversation with this farmer, he saw this characteristic of overthinking things in this farmer. Now, I don't know for sure, and I'm certainly speculating, but you have to admit that it is entirely, surely possible that this is where Solomon observed what we have recorded for us in verse 4. The farmer, in verse 4, was so timid, he was so cautious, he was so afraid to do anything for fear that he might do the wrong thing, that he did nothing. And because he was so worried about everything and afraid to do anything, he was actually taking himself and his family down the road of financial ruin. He thought to himself, I need to plant my crops, but I think the wind might be too high, so I better not do it. It might blow the seed away. Or he said, wow, you know, I really need to go out and gather in my crops tomorrow, but, it might rain. It looks like it could rain. So what is Solomon saying to us? Well, I think that he is basically telling us that this man is overthinking things. He's just overthinking it. And so King Solomon saw this, verse 4, he saw this in someone, and so he went home and he took his pen and he wrote, he that observeth the wind shall never sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall never reap. And I think the point that Solomon is making here is this. You know, folks, we need to just get on with our work and do what we're supposed to do and quit overanalyzing and quit overthinking things. You know, life is too short for us to complicate every matter that comes along. And you don't always have to sit and dwell upon all of the difficulties. The difficulties are always going to be there. They're just always going to be there. And you don't have to worry about the weather, whether it's cold or whether it's hot. We're going to have weather, whether or not. It's just the way it is. And you cannot sit and worry about everything that could go wrong. And if you do, then you may never get anything accomplished. And that's the advice that Solomon is giving. And I have reduced that just for my own mind and for the sake of the sermon tonight. I have reduced that to the wisest man in the world giving us advice not to overthink it. Now, I want us to think about the practicality of the king's philosophy here. There are a couple of areas that I want you to consider tonight. First of all, let me just say, and this is very general, I'll specify on a couple of things, but let me just say at the beginning that we can overthink just about anything in life. We can overthink just about anything in life. Let me give you two examples. of where we can overthink simple things. The first thing I want you to call to your attention is this. We often see folks overthinking the health of their physical bodies. Now, I want you to sit still now. All right, hear me out I know some of you email flashed into your mind just when I said that. All right, hear me out before you email me. Don't email me from your smartphone. I want you to understand what I'm saying. I think the Bible is very clear that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit and that we should take care of our bodies. Now, I want everybody in this building to understand this. I do not have a problem with that at all. None. I think you ought to eat right. I think you ought to sleep right. I think you ought to exercise. Go for it. I have no problem with it. But folks can overthink physical health, and if you're not careful, health will become a sacred cow for you. Now, listen, I've had folks get mad at me, and I've had folks leave the church because I made a joke or I said in passing that I'd like to have a milkshake, or I'd like to have a cheeseburger. Yeah. I finally got an amen, and it was at the wrong place. When I was so sick a couple of years ago, I was on this restrictive diet of acorns, tree bark, and sticks. And I said one Sunday, just joking, I said that I would love to go over the hill to McDonald's and get the biggest, greasiest cheeseburger and devour the whole thing while the grease dripped off my chin. Now, you would have thought that I had stood up on Sunday night and denied the virgin birth. You would have thought that I stood up here and denied the deity of Christ. And I got angry emails the next week. I got a big manila envelope stuffed full of literature about how to take care of your physical body. And I got angry letters. I mean, it was that they took it that I was encouraging people to pollute their bodies with quarter pounders and cheese. Folks, come on. I mean, come on. Listen, all that the Bible says on this matter is that we should give the body wise and reasonable care. And again, I think you ought to take care of your body. I have preached that. I think you ought to eat the right foods. I think you ought to get enough rest and exercise. But these folks who overthink things, who will die old and healthy, but the operative word there is die. Come on. These folks who overthink things can get so obsessed with health that it becomes the foundational issue upon which all things function. And if you can get mad at me and you can leave this church and alienate yourself from the fellowship of the brethren because I give a Hershey bar to mothers on Mother's Day and a Snickers bar to dads on Father's Day, I got a word for you. You ready for it? Balance. Hey, here's a little tidbit for you. if you don't want a Hershey bar, don't take it. I promise you, nobody is going to grab you, hold you down, and force feed you a Hershey bar at the Church of the Open Door. Now, it's just not going to happen. Well, I can't believe they're giving ice cream. Yes, we are. Now, if you don't want to eat ice cream, don't eat it. No, don't hit the road. Stay out here in fellowship with the rest of us and drool while we're eating the ice cream. Now, John said, you can give your ice cream to him. I know you will. See, this morning I read where the Lord perceived what those scribes were saying. And I just perceived what you were saying. Folks, listen. Here's the thing. If I could get some people as excited about tithing or about reading the Bible or about coming to prayer meeting or about prayer or about soul winning as they are about calories and fat content and barley green, we could build something for God here. Now, here's the word of the day. Let me give it to you again. Balance. Balance. That ought to be what we're striving for. Balance. You see, we often overthink things. Now, let me give you another area. We often see folks overthinking the daily work that we have to do. Let me explain to you what I mean there. Folks, there is a way of dealing with difficult responsibilities that is as foolish as it is disobedient. Every calling has cares and worries. And we should be careful in overthinking when the job so fills our vision that it possesses us, even depresses us, and robs us of our energy. That is when we should write Ecclesiastes 11:4 across our hearts. I think that God expects us to do the very best in our job. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I think you ought to take care of your physical health. And I think it is a good thing to care about your job so that you do the best job that you can as unto the Lord. But listen, learn to leave the job at the job. I mean, when you come home, you are no longer the CEO. When you come home, you're no longer the manager or the business partner. Folks, when you come home, you are dad. Or you are mom. Or you are the husband. Now, I know this is dangerous. I know this is dangerous, but my wife is right here interpreting for the sermon, and I know this is dangerous, but she fusses at me all the time. And she says, oh, I didn't know that. Somebody will ask her a question, and she said, well, I don't know. I'm always the last one to find out. Now, I haven't found that balance in there yet. But, you know, I started years ago trying to leave it here when I walk out the door. I don't want to take it home. And, I'm on dangerous ground. I realize that. But we drive to church together on Sunday night. We don't ever drive together on Sunday morning because I have to be here early. And so we'll come to church on Sunday night. Now, I've been here all week long. I've been here all week, all day. And then on Sunday, I've been here since 7:30 in the morning. And when the service is over, I don't burst out the door. But, I mean, when things thin out, I'm ready to go home. I'm hungry. I'm tired. And I'm ready to go home. She's not ready to go home. She wants to just stay here in fellowship. She hadn't seen everybody since, her deaf friends. She has not seen since Wednesday night. And so she wants to be here. Now, we've got to be careful. I've got to be careful. Because I know she needs that. And the tendency is to go to the door, look in here and go. In Christian love, of course. But that's the tendency. No, I can't do that. You see, again, let's get back to this thing called balance. Balance. You are, when you leave that office and come home, you're the husband. You're the wife. If you bring your job home, you will not be for your family what your family needs you to be. All right? You know, you might just find. And I know that every job has its difficulties. Every job has its complications. I understand that. But you might just find that a little quiet trust in God, a little faith in the promises of His Word, just might cause you to realize that things are not as bad as you think they are. And again, balance is such a wonderful thing. There's a second area, not only physically, but then I think sometimes we can overthink things spiritually. You say, Pastor, what in the world do you mean? Well, listen very carefully. Folks, the spiritual life of a believer is much higher than our physical life or our work life. And I think it is entirely possible to overthink things in the realm of the spiritual. Let me make a couple of applications to show you what I mean. I hear folks say, especially new Christians, they will say, there is just so much of the Bible that I can't understand. Now that might be true. But I also want to say this, there is much of the Bible that you can understand. What you ought to do is focus upon those things which you can understand. Now, let's apply this verse that we read just a moment ago. Applying the text, because there are some things that you don't yet understand, are you not going to serve the Lord at all then? You with me on that? That's what the guy in the text did. He said, I need to plant my garden, but the wind is awful high. Therefore, I'm not going to plant. Well, let's apply that. There's some things about the Bible you don't understand. Are you therefore saying that you're just going to give up? Are you not going to do any reading at all? Folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Truth is, there are some things in the Bible and in God's plan for mankind that I don't fully understand yet. And, I've been saved for 43 years. I've been preaching for 36 years. I have a Bachelor of Arts degree in Bible and an earned master's degree and an earned doctorate and an honorary doctorate. I'm a paradox. All right, think about that. You'll get it. And yet there are still some things that I don't fully understand. But I can't quit. I can't just say, well, I don't understand that. I'm not going to read the Bible anymore. What's the use? I don't understand that. So, no, be careful that you don't overthink being a Christian. I mean, in the book of Job, Job spoke of the spreading and the balancing of the clouds around the earth. as something that God does, and that we will never fully comprehend God's way. And his point is, listen, there are just some things, the secret things belong to God. That's what God said about this. There are just some things that I've got to come to grips with. I'm just not going to understand them until I get to heaven and I'm made like Jesus. But that doesn't mean that I don't keep striving. That doesn't mean that I don't quit trying. I mean, the point is, folks, do you want to reap? Look at the text again. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Do you really want to be a Christian? Do you want to have that joy and peace and that power which so many of God's people have found in Christ? Then I repeat the text. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Let me give you a simple illustration that will maybe explain this a little better. You ever hear the name William Thomas Calvin? William Thomas Calvin. Calvin was a brilliant, and I mean brilliant, physicist from Belfast, Northern Ireland, lived back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, and he was one of the most brilliant men. You and I are benefiting right now from Calvin's theories and from his discoveries. We are sitting here right now able to see. We have light and we have air conditioning because of Lord Calvin. He was dubbed by the Queen as Lord Calvin. And one day, late in his life, he was taken to an electric power station in Ireland to be shown around. And when they announced that he was coming, and they got the foreman of the plant there to meet him. And when he came, the people at the plant were just, I mean, they were just awestruck. I mean, here was the guy that came up with all the theories about electricity and how electricity behaves. And they're working in an electric producing plant. And here comes the guy that came up with all this. And so Lord Kelvin came in where the group of people were gathered, and they all made their introductions. And the foreman's name was John. And Kelvin walked over and shook hands with John. And then he said, let me show you around. And they started going around the plant. And after looking at everything, Kelvin turned around and said, John? And John snapped to. And he said, yes, sir. He said, John, right in front of everybody, what is electricity? And John looked at Lord Calvin and he said, well, sir, to be honest with you, I do not have the slightest idea. I was hoping you could tell me the answer to that question. And Lord Calvin smiled and said, ah, John, that is one thing nobody understands. Here's the guy that drew up how to harness electricity. Here's the guy that came up with the theory on how to produce electricity. Now, let me ask you, folks, are you going to go home tonight and sit in the dark and refuse to use electricity because you don't understand it? There's no way. Are you going to not turn on your air conditioner or turn your fan on to cool you down when you get home tonight because you don't understand all the intricate properties of electricity? Of course not. And yet that is exactly what a lot of folks do with their Bible and with what the Bible teaches us about our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I don't understand how God can hear me when I pray. Hey, me either, but I do know God hears me. You say, how do you know that? Because I got a Bible full of promises that tells me God hears me when I pray. I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I can pray. I do have an advocate with the Father. And just because I don't understand how a holy and righteous God can know the thoughts and intents of my heart when I pray, should that keep me from enjoying the benefits of prayer? No, sir. You say, well, I'm not sure I know how it all works. Who cares? It works. And I guarantee you, when I go home tonight, I'm going to flip the light on when I walk in the house. Think about it, folks. We don't act like that with anything else in life. Why should we act like that with God? It's because the devil doesn't want you to learn what's in this book. Electricity, gravity, the combustible engine, air conditioning, my forced air furnace, my iPad, my cell phone, my computer. I don't understand how any of them work. They tell me there's silver in my phone. Who would have thought to do that? I mean, I don't understand how all that works. I don't understand how I can be standing right here and I can push that little message button and then scroll down and get Ray shut, and then push that button, and then say, hey, Ray, how you doing? Send, and it goes up, and it hits a satellite, and it comes down, and Ray's 5 feet from me. And it all happens just like that. Now, because I don't understand it, here's the way a lot of folks would do. Well, I'm not using that cell phone. I don't understand how that works. You don't do that with a cell phone. Why do you do that with God? You know, to be honest with you, I don't care how it works. Just as long as it works. Do you know when I care? When it doesn't work. You with me on that? I mean, I don't have it on me. I left it in the office. I got this little key that I carry in my pocket. And when I walk up to my car and put my hand on the door, it goes beep, beep, and the door's unlocked. And then I get in the car, and I put my foot on the brake, and I push this little button, and the car starts. I never think about that. I just do it. You know when I think about it? When I get over there, and I put my hand on the door, and it doesn't go beep, beep. First thing I do is, oh, where'd I put my key? Or if I get in it and I push the button and nothing happens, that's when I get concerned. And folks, listen, when you pray and you get nothing, that's when you ought to get concerned. When you read the Bible and you don't understand anything, that's when you need to get concerned. But I'll guarantee you, there is enough in that Bible right there that it can occupy you for a long, long time. You don't have to get over in Ezekiel and worry about the wheel turning, which, by the way, is so cool when we're going to get to it in a couple of weeks. Oh, man, is it neat. I've already got it done. I can't wait. I might skip Lamentations and do Ezekiel. I don't know. It's that good. Oh, it's amazing. Who'd have thunk it? And I've never really sat down and studied that. You say, well, I don't understand Ezekiel. Yeah, but you can understand John. Well, I don't understand the book of Daniel and those 10 toes and all that stuff. But you can understand Matthew and Philippians. You see, folks, I don't need to understand how God does for me. I just need to believe that He does. He that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. David Wright is interning with us this summer. And we had our little pastor intern talk on Tuesday. And when it was all over and he left, my mind went back to when I was 22 years of age and I had about 50 people that called me their pastor. And I just sat there and remembered 22 years of age. And I had responsibility of about 50 people who called me their pastor. And I went back in my mind to when I was so green, so naive, so innocent of mind and heart. And I remember I just sat there and remembered all the dumb things that I did. I remembered all the mistakes that I made. Now, I didn't quit when I made those mistakes. I didn't just say, well, I'm just going to go over here and sit in the corner and wait till I mature a little bit and wait till I know a little bit more Bible or wait on this situation to improve. No, I just kept plowing. I just kept learning. I just kept growing and observing and watching and applying. And now here I am 36 years later, and God allows me to be the pastor of the great church, the Open Door. Go figure. What if I had given up back years ago? What if I had said, man, I'm never going to learn this pastoring thing? Folks, the point is, you don't overthink things. Just read your Bible and trust it. Read your Bible and trust it. God means what He says, and He says what He means. Just read it and obey. Obey what God shares with you. Walk in the grace that God gives you today, knowing that it's not all the grace you're going to get. There's grace for today. Walk in that grace. And then the neat thing is tomorrow there'll be more grace. It's just the way God does things. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I've not arrived yet, neither of you. To be honest with you, I'm looking forward to what God's going to reveal to me this coming week. I mean, I'm just looking forward to it. Somebody said to me this morning, said, Pastor, thank God for the messages. I said, well, you're welcome, and let's thank God for it together. You know, I can't wait till next week, see what God's going to do next week, and the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. I don't know what God's going to do, but I just know that for 36 years, He's just been there every time. And I know that if God allows me to live 36 more years, He'll be there next week. And the week after. That's our God. Don't overthink things, folks. Don't overthink things. Read your Bible daily. Absorb your Bible daily. And then walk in the light that you've been given. That's the key. You don't have to sit and analyze everything. You don't have to sit and question everything. You don't have to sit and say, well, I wonder if that's applicable for this dispensation. Oh, phooey. If it's in the Bible, grab it and use it. I don't think God's going to be concerned about which dispensation it is. Just trust the Bible. Just trust God. And let's not overthink things. I trust this has helped you a little bit. Folks, let's walk in the light that God has already given.